Welcome to Jenna's podcast about the Crucible. My mother is here, and we have an expert who performed the play last year. Let's start with the expert. The historical importance of the play, the book.
I'm really conflicted on that because the meaning behind it was kind of more like understandable. Like, you couldn't really understand most of it only because you really have to look at it fully and really read through the book if you really wanted to get really more in depth with it. Only because the play itself was just more like a tale of, like, basic females lying and they couldn't own up to what was going on. And they wasn't really too much aware of what was going on. That's why they was really lying. And yeah, they was underage and didn't really have any concept of, like, the truth in this. But it's still a matter of right and wrong. And they didn't know how to stop lying. That's why the lie kept on growing bigger and bigger. So with the play, it showed some of the concept of why the females lied. But in the book, it didn't really tell, like, intel of how much of what the lie did to what everybody's life consisted of, like with the pastor. This is crazy. The pastor lied and said he seen one of the dudes doing witchcraft so he can get his land in the book. Did you read that part? That joint was crazy. I didn't really like that part because it was basically saying you could put that on anybody and say, like, oh, I seen this person doing this yesterday and they died for it. Like, they got hung or something. It was crazy.
I think that it shows us how women were treated unfairly and discriminated against because of what people said or thought about them. No proof, no facts.
How do you feel about that?
I don't really know about that one. I mean, I'm going to have to disagree in this one because in the play, they show more like how the women carried on the lie, and the lie got bigger because they didn't know how to tell the truth in that concept, like, just because they was lying.
Well, I think it's still, they were lying, but it was women lying on women.
No, they lied on everybody.
Well, yeah, that's true too. But it was for the purpose of a female to progress or take the place of someone else.
But then it started getting more like, then the females started lying on each other. Then after that, then it progressed like to more like the community lying on each other. Because you remember that one part, they had that one dude, I think he was like a sharecropper. He had all this acreage of land. And the one dude had said he seen him performing some witchcraft. So they took his land, they took his house, everything. They locked him up, put him in chains and everything.
I didn't remember that.
That was crazy. They took his land only because of a word that somebody else said.
But that's what I'm saying. It was a form of bullying.
Yeah.
It was a form of, I have power, you don't, so what I say goes.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that kind of thing still happens today. Yeah. Look at our president. It's a form of bullying.
Yeah. That's only mainly because, like, people don't understand more or less their rights as, like, individuals and how much power that the word carries. So it's like, you really gotta understand, like, one lie can go a long way.
Yes, it can.
Like, a very long way. And that's a good example from the Crucible, because you see, she lied because she wanted to be, she wanted to be with the dude that was investigating, like, they trial, and he wanted to be with her. I mean, she wanted to be with him, but he had a wife. They had a little fling or whatever, but he created adultery. So that's why his wife was kind of mad at him. And then they had the whole little period where they was in disagreements about stuff. So then after that, that really played more into it, because now she had a reason to lie on his wife to make his wife, like, I guess, like, incriminated into this situation. That's why his wife got took into custody. And then after that, she lied on him because he didn't want to be with her. So it's like, she lied just for her game. Yeah, exactly.
That was the root cause of the issue, was the man.
Exactly.
Which is the issue. Which is the issue today a lot.
Yeah.
The men plant the seed and the women water it. Sometimes they overwater it to where they go above and beyond and do drastic things that they shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all because of the seed.
Yeah, or emotional ties
to that seed.
Yeah.
And usually it's the man, you know, the pillow talk. Oh, baby, you know you're the only one. Mm-hmm. If only if I was single. Oh, if you were single, well, let me help you be single.
Yeah.
We can get rid of your wife.
Yeah, that's really how it happened. She felt more like she could take the place of it.
Yeah,
like his
she
wife
can
was
do more.
Yeah.
And if the wife was doing everything for him, he would be with her and not with her.
And the crazy part is, they still killed him and his wife off of her word. Like, just because she said that they both was doing witchcraft. Mm-hmm. So it's like, she got too much tied into it at the end and couldn't get out of it. She couldn't find a way out of it. And then once
she had to keep the lie going.
And plus, once they found out that she was lying, she disappeared on them. Like, she got up through. I think she went to, like, Columbus. She went to Columbus. Like, that was crazy.
But that just goes to show you the seriousness of karma.
Yeah.
You may get away with it right now. It may seem like you're getting away with it, but eventually it comes back to bite you.
Yeah. One of the girls that was in the play, they knew, like, she already knew that she couldn't keep on the line, so she tried to tell the truth. And then once that happened, you see all of them turned on her and was like, oh, she's lying, she's possessed, it's the devil talking. It was crazy because it's like once they have like a certain ringleader of the group controlling them, it's like more or less like the general population. Like that's how society is here today for real. Like you get this general idea of what's going on, but nobody really can tell like, oh, everybody is individual because you got all these groups together that's just like, hey, this is what's happening. So everybody follows it.
Kind of like political parties.
Exactly. It's like, exactly like political parties. Like with Donald Trump, you see, at first he was by himself in this. Like he started with only money to be in this race, to be the president. Then he started getting all this help from all these other political efforts because they wanted him to really be the president, I guess, because they felt like he had power over certain stuff.
I think what it is when it comes to, and this kind of is relatable to the Crucible, when you have something that disturbs the norm, something that creates fear and an uprise, it's very easy to make that your common ground. Think about it. When 9/11 hit, every day on the news, oh, we're at level orange, and people get panicky. Level red, oh my God, they're coming back to blow us up. We can't travel right now. We're on a level red.
Yeah.
Like, when you instill panic, then you're getting those people to come together. Those people that, oh, okay. And Trump did the same thing. He instilled the panic of the foreigners taking over.
Yeah.
He instilled the panic of the country going broke.
Yeah.
Country's already up in the air, and you're not helping it.
Yeah. He's just doing everything he can to, like, diminish all of Obamacare, but all his efforts to doing that is taking up all the time that he could be doing positive stuff for us. Like, he ain't even thinking about all the healthcare reasons that we need.
Because he has no intentions on really trying to help.
Nah.
And that's just like with Crucible.
He's only helping
that,
the upper
that
class.
Girl had no intentions on helping anyone.
No, she just wanted.
What's the social message inside of the Crucible? What did you take from it?
Discrimination. It was a sign of one of the first ways that people discriminated against each other and had nothing to do with the color of their skin. It had to do with their beliefs and how they chose to live.
To me, I think I take it more of like being kind of sexist in a lot of ways. Only because they went off of the general group of a female. Like, they went off of all of the opinions of the females at the end. But at the beginning, they don't go off of the females' opinions only because they're children, too. They put that in there because they said children never really had an opinion only because they would look down upon if they was, like, acting out or stepping out, being an outcast, anything like that. They would look down upon. But since the roles was flipped and everybody was looking towards them to be, like, the provider, I guess, for answers, and they all knowing towards the ending, like, that was kind of more like a mix-up, basically.
I think it kind of shows you indirectly or inadvertently that there really is strength in numbers.
Yeah.
One person saying something wouldn't have gotten taken that far.
Yeah.
But when you have an abundance of people saying the same thing,
it gets obsessive.
And then people start thinking, well, it must be some truth to it.
Yeah.
The whole town is thinking that way. Well, the whole town's mind is not as burdened as it should be. because they're so busy being in their box.
Yeah, it's like modern day gossip. Like, one thing gets spread or a rumor gets spread and everybody starts hearing it, and then you never know which one is really true, like the truth or the gossip, because everybody is so confused between both.
I think it's a classic definition of one person's reality becomes others. Yeah. One person's perception becomes other people's reality. And the perception of that one girl and what she felt became the reality that everyone else adapted to and had her back on, which gave them strength. Yeah. That one girl was weak by herself, but she became strong, spreading the word to everyone else.
Yeah.
You think there's censorship inside of the book, inside of the play?
Like,
censorship?
Yeah.
I don't really know towards that, because only because she instilled fear to get more, like, more people to join her in her opinions, because she was acting all crazy, saying she was going to kill somebody in her sleep if they didn't go with the lie. Like, it was a whole bunch of stuff that she did to instill a lot of stuff into it.
You better preach it, Anthony. I agree.
But
I agree.
Yeah, but it's true though. Like, she used too many people to get her point across, only because she was emotional about a lot of stuff that was going on in her life. Like, she had a relationship with one of the dudes. I keep on forgetting his name. She had a relationship.
She committed adultery.
Yeah, exactly.
So she already was wrong.
Yeah.
So she took her wrongness and made it even more wrong to try and cover up the wrong that she created.
Yeah.
So you think this is on her? It's two people when it's adultery, even though she wasn't married, she was underage.
It
was on both of them. I think that the husband eventually tried to come clean, which made the female be even more wrong, because she thought that it was going to be a happily ever after.
Yeah.
And when she didn't get her way, she got salty.
Basically,
a woman really scorned true. Can be very dangerous, and still to this day, that is true.
Why do you think the author set up the story the way that they did?
To show you how one lie can lead to another and be very detrimental to many people's lives without even realizing it. That young lady caused many deaths, many heartaches, and a lot of innocent people died just because of her selfish reasons.
I know you had another story like this that you told me about. I think it happened in Florida, that mirrored what happened. Do you remember?
Yes, Rosewood. That was another real-life episode where a woman lied due to her infidelity.
Yeah.
And the whole town had pretty much slept with her. They knew she was unfaithful to her husband. And when it came down and she almost got caught with the white man, the neighbor, she lied and said it was a black man who tried to rape her. And the entire town went out looking for this so-called black man that did not exist. And basically, end result was pretty much the entire city of Rosewood died. There was a fire that broke out, and there was a wanderer who was a black male from a neighboring town, and he pretty much was the one that tried to save as many black people as he could. Rosewood was a predominantly black town, and it was, not necessarily predominantly black, but it was a lot of black people that lived there. It was a working town, and they were, at that time, middle-class working black people. Mm-hmm. And I believe, goodness, over 3,000 people died. I don't remember the exact number, but at the end of the day, they knew that the wife was lying, and it came out. Nothing ever happened to the wife, but there were many deaths that could not be brought back, all for a lie. So it's very similar, and it shows that even back then, this was something that had continuously happened over time in different parts of the world. It's very important for people to see what their actions can eventually result to. That's why it's good to be wholesome. Tell the truth.
I think like with the author's choice with this, basically, I think he was basing this more like less of a parody, more of like a satire story, only because people died in it. It would have been a funny play if nobody died, because then it would have been like, oh, it was just a lie at the end. But people died, and this was like really something that really happened. Salem witch trials really happened. So it's like this probably played like one of the major parts into the Salem witch trials.
Not contradicting yourselves, because you said there's strength in numbers, but also you want people to be individuals. How did they do that at the same time?
It's not like we want them to be all in a group effort and have the same idealistic just to be one person. It's just more or less like you have to be your own person all the time, even if you have a group of people that follow you. That's basically leadership. You have people following you, but a leader doesn't just like tell people what to do. A leader pulls them up with them to show them, like, oh, this is what we could be doing.
To be a leader, you have to have a group behind you.
Exactly, but you can't have a, you can't instill fear.
Not true. You can be a leader and be by yourself. I totally disagree with that comment. You don't have to, you can lead yourself.
Yeah.
You don't have to lead a group of people.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important. And the old saying, I forget who said it, but it's a very old saying that, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. So you have to be strong enough to know what your belief is based on your facts and your research and stand strong for that and not let someone sway you because of the way they think or because of who they don't like. And if other people think the same way that you do and have the same mindset that you do, you now become stronger because you are massive in numbers. Every group that's massive in numbers is not correct, but numbers matter. Strength, there is strength in numbers.
Well, that's the end of it. Thank you for listening to my podcast, and I'll see you later.